Today is the 10th day of June. Welcome back. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Glad to be back around the global campfire. Again, gratitude. Deep gratitude. Man, we have this place. It exists. And it's safe. I mean, we're here. And we're here for a reason. And we're all here for the same reason. To take the next step forward in the scriptures. We're all on the same page in a very literal sense. And I am so grateful that this exists. And that this is happening. And that we get to take that next step forward. And so let's do that. We're in 1 Kings in the Old Testament. We're in the book of Acts in the New. In the New Testament, we're hearing the testimony of a man named Stephen, who's kind of reviewing everything that we've read so far. In the book of 1 Kings, we are focused on the life of King Solomon. So today, 1 Kings chapter 7. Solomon's palace took 13 years to build. Forest Hall was the largest room in the palace. It was 44 meters long, 22 meters wide, and 13 and a half meters high, and was lined with cedar from Lebanon. It had four rows of cedar pillars, 15 in a row, and they held up 45 cedar beams. The ceiling was covered with cedar. Three rows of windows on each side faced each other, and there were three doors on each side near the front of the hall. Pillar Hall was 22 meters long and 13 and a half meters wide. A covered porch supported by pillars went all the way across the front of the hall. Solomon's throne was in Justice Hall, where he judged cases. This hall was completely lined with cedar. The section of the palace where Solomon lived was behind Justice Hall and looked exactly like it. He had a similar place built for his wife, the daughter of the king of Egypt. From the foundation all the way to the top, these buildings and the courtyard were made out of the best stones, carefully cut to size, then smoothed on every side with saws. The foundation stones were huge, good stones, some of them 4.5 meters long and others 3.5 meters long. The cedar beams and other stones that had been cut to size were on top of these foundation stones. The walls around the palace courtyard were made out of three layers of cut stones, with one layer of cedar beams, just like the front porch and the inner courtyard of the temple. Hiram was a skilled bronze worker from the city of Tyre. His father was now dead, but he also had been a bronze worker from Tyre, and his mother was from the tribe of Naphtali. King Solomon asked Hiram to come to Jerusalem and make the bronze furnishings to use for worship in the Lord's temple, and he agreed to do it. Hiram made two bronze columns, 8 meters tall and almost 2 meters across. From the top of each column, he also made a bronze cap just over 2 meters high. The caps were decorated with 7 rows of designs that looked like chains, with 2 rows of designs that looked like pomegranates. The caps for the columns of the porch were almost 2 meters high and were shaped like lilies. The chain designs on the caps were right above the rounded tops of the two columns, and there were 200 pomegranates in rows around each cap. Hiram placed the two columns on each side of the main door of the temple. The column on the south side was called Jachin, and the one on the north was called Boaz. The lily-shaped caps were on top of the columns. This completed the work on the columns. Hiram also made a large bowl called the sea. It was just over 2 meters deep, about 4.5 meters across, and 13.5 meters around. Two rows of bronze gourds were around the outer edge of the bowl, 10 gourds to every 45 centimeters. The bowl itself sat on top of 12 bronze bowls, with 3 bowls facing outward in each of the 4 directions. The sides of the bowl were 75 millimeters thick, and its rim was like a cup that curved outward like flower petals. The bowl held about 40,000 liters. Hiram made 10 movable bronze stands, each one over a meter high, almost 2 meters long, and almost 2 meters wide. The sides were made with panels attached to frames decorated with flower designs. The panels themselves were decorated with figures of lions, bulls, and winged creatures. Each stand had 4 bronze wheels and axles, and a round frame 68 centimeters across, held up by 4 supports 45 centimeters high. A small bowl rested in the frame. The supports were decorated with flower designs, and the frame with carvings. The side panels of the stands were square, and the wheels and axles were underneath them. The wheels were about 68 centimeters high and looked like chariot wheels. The axles, rims, spokes, and hubs were made out of bronze. Around the top of each stand was a 22 centimeter strip, and there were 4 braces attached to the corners of each stand. The panels and the supports were attached to the stands, and the stands were decorated with flower designs and figures of lions, palm trees, and winged creatures. Hiram made the 10 bronze stands from the same mold, so they were exactly the same size and shape. Hiram also made 10 small bronze bowls, one for each stand. The bowls were almost 2 meters across and could hold about 800 liters. He put 5 stands on the south side of the temple, 5 stands on the north side, and the large bowl at the southeast corner of the temple. Hiram made pans for hot ashes, and also shovels and sprinkling bowls. This is a list of the bronze items that Hiram made for the Lord's temple. 2 columns, 2 bowl-shaped caps for the tops of the columns, 2 chain designs on the caps, 400 pomegranates for the chain designs, 10 movable stands, 10 small bowls for the stands, a large bowl, 12 bowls that held up the bowl, pans for hot ashes, and also shovels and sprinkling bowls. Hiram made these bronze things for Solomon near the Jordan River between Sukkot and Zarethan by pouring melted bronze into clay molds. There were so many bronze things that Solomon never bothered to weigh them, and no one ever knew how much bronze was used. Solomon gave orders to make the following temple furnishings out of gold: the altar, the table that held the sacred loaves of bread, 10 lampstands that went in front of the most holy place, flower designs, lamps and tongs, cups, lamp snuffers and small sprinkling bowls, dishes for incense, fire pans, and the hinges for the doors to the most holy place and the main room of the temple. After the Lord's temple was finished, Solomon put into its storage rooms everything that his father David had dedicated to the Lord, including the gold and the silver. Acts 7:30-50. through 50. 40 years later, an angel appeared to Moses from a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. Moses was surprised by what he saw. He went closer to get a better look, and the Lord said, "I am the God who was worshipped by your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses started shaking all over and didn't dare to look at the bush. The Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, because the place where you are standing is holy. With my own eyes, I have seen the suffering of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groans and have come down to rescue them. Now I am sending you back to Egypt." This was the same Moses that the people rejected by saying, "Who made you our leader and judge?" God's angel had spoken to Moses from the bush, and God had even sent the angel to help Moses rescue the people and be their leader. In Egypt, and at the Red Sea, and in the desert, Moses rescued the people by working miracles and wonders for 40 years. Moses is the one who told the people of Israel, "God will choose one of your people to be a prophet, just as he chose me." Moses brought our people together in the desert, and the angel spoke to him on Mount Sinai. There, he was given these life-giving words to pass on to us. But our ancestors refused to obey Moses. They rejected him and wanted to go back to Egypt. The people said to Aaron, "Make some gods to lead us. Moses led us out of Egypt, but we don't know what's happened to him now." And they made an idol in the shape of a calf. They offered sacrifices to the idol and were pleased with what they had done. God turned his back on his people and left them. And they worshiped the stars in the sky, just as it says in the book of the prophets, "People of Israel, you didn't offer sacrifices and offerings to me during those 40 years in the desert. Instead, you carried the tent where the god Molech is worshipped, and you took along the star of your god Rephan. You made those idols and worshipped them. So now, I will have you carried off beyond Babylonia." The tent where our ancestors worshipped God was with them in the desert. This was the same tent that God had commanded Moses to make. And it was made like the model that Moses had seen. Later, it was given to our ancestors, and they took it with them when they went with Joshua. They carried the tent along as they took over the land from those people that God had chased out for them. Our ancestors used this tent until the time of King David. He pleased God and asked him if he could build a house of worship for the people of Israel. And it was finally King Solomon who built a house for God. But the Most High God doesn't live in houses made by humans. It is just as the prophet said when he spoke for the Lord, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me? In what place will I rest? I have made everything." Psalm 128. The Lord rewards his faithful people. The Lord will bless you if you respect him and obey his laws. Your fields will produce and you will be happy. All will go well. Your wife will be as fruitful as a grapevine. And just as an olive tree is rich with olives, your home will be rich with healthy children. This is how the Lord will bless everyone who respects him. I pray that the Lord will bless you from Zion, and let Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live long enough to see your grandchildren. Let's pray for peace in Israel. Proverbs 16:31-33. Gray hair is a glorious crown worn by those who have lived right. Controlling your temper is better than being a hero who captures a city. We make our own decisions, but the Lord alone determines what happens. Okay, so as we're focused in on King Solomon in 1 Kings right now, we've seen that Solomon has built a palace for himself, 13 years in the making, majestic, fit for a king, obviously. And then he fashioned all of the implements that would be needed for use in the temple. Obviously, first rate, first class, absolutely beautiful. And so the way that the kingdom exists is being established under Solomon, like the national identity and the ethos of the culture is being established. And then we move into the book of Acts, and we're continuing to listen to Stephen, who was one of the deacons, one of the first, just to serve the church as it was growing and the needs of the people. He was arrested and accused of blasphemy and of profaning Moses. And he's been questioned about that. And so he is, in his own defense, telling the Hebrew story, and we're listening to that, and we will continue to listen to that until he's done. And it gives us a broad overview of all of the things that we've been reading since the beginning of the year. So it gives us, even though it's testimony in his own defense, it gives us this incredible review of the stories that we've spent so much time in. And then Psalms. So, like, it's no secret that the Bible, if we're open to it, is going to challenge us in every conceivable way, every place that is false within us, every posture of heart, every motive, every deceit, everything hidden. Everything will be exposed to us, about us, if our hearts are open to it. This is what it does. And we can take that all on board as condemnation, or it's just like an angry book, or we can understand it is ferreting out what is hidden in the darkness that will lead us to destruction and giving us an opportunity in advance of that. Before we have to smash and destroy our lives and everything around us, to choose a different path by facing it all and ourselves honestly. So there's really, really hard work involved in that. If we're willing to do the work, it can be very painful. Not can be, it is very painful. And so that happens all the time. But the Bible also speaks such comfort and such promise, even as it's bringing the truth to the surface. And so that's kind of where we land in Psalms today. Something really happens when blessing is spoken over us. That is true today. That was true thousands of years ago in biblical times. That tradition exists today. We speak words of blessing over each other if we're like a good friend. But even formally, like a benediction spoken at the end of a worship service, this happens in hundreds of thousands of congregations around the world. These words, when spoken over us, they bring comfort, but they reorient our hearts, like a little bit of a refresh. And so we find beautiful words spoken today. And so may we just kind of receive them. The Lord will bless you if you respect Him and obey His laws. Your fields will produce, and you will be happy, and all will go well. Your wife will be as fruitful as a grapevine. Just as an olive tree is rich with olives, your home will be rich with healthy children. This is how the Lord will bless everyone who respects Him. Pray that the Lord will bless you from Zion, and let Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. May you live long enough to see your grandchildren. May we pray for peace in Israel. These words are so tender, so encouraging, so life-giving if we receive them. These were words that were spoken over people as they entered the temple, or as they departed from the temple. These are words that have been pronounced as a blessing for coming and going for thousands of years, and they're preserved in the Bible. And so when they're spoken over us. And so may we remember them. May we receive them. May we allow them to orient our hearts to God as we navigate the day. So thank you, Father. Thank you for these words that are preserved and have been spoken for thousands of years. Something about that. Something about words that have been spoken for thousands of years, that we can receive the same words as they were spoken thousands of years ago and find comfort in them, encouragement in them, joy in them, hope in them. So Holy Spirit, come. We have indeed and will continue to be challenged in every way that is false, and invited into the hard work of becoming true. We are also thankful for the moments where encouragement, hope, comfort are spoken over us. And we receive this today in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. Sorry, I had to clear my throat. That is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well. And so be connected in any way that you can, in any way that you will, as we, as a community, take the journey through the entire Bible this year. And we are so deeply already underway on this journey. And wow, look at what has happened in the scriptures. Whew, I mean, I say it at the beginning of the year, everything about us, if we're going to take this journey and we have an open heart, everything about us will get touched. And sometimes the things need to be touched in a way that is convicting and challenging and just deeply invites us to repent, to change. And sometimes there's deep comfort. I mean, a year brings a lot in life, and a year brings a lot in transformation. So we're celebrating the 20th year. This is the 20th June 10th. And one of the ways that we're celebrating this year is just kind of revealing ourselves through our music. And I have recorded a song. So first, Jill, who is the singer in my family, released I Found Grace, which is a song that deeply connects to our story. Then Ezekiel released When the Bow Breaks, which is such a meaningful song to us. And then I have sung a song. And I'm not the singer that Jill or Ezekiel are, but I have given my heart to this song because it's a song that goes way back before Jill and I got married and is so, so meaningful to our story. And I wrote it for her, and so I sang it. And if you want to call it that, I did my very best to put my soul and my heart out there. And I'm so grateful to all of you who have been touched and have responded to that and encouraged me and us on our journey and with that song. And so grateful that it has hit a nerve in so many ways, and to hear that some of you have found those words to be words that you needed to say to somebody else and have shared it. And those of you who have found those words to be meaningful from God to you, like comforting, because you feel like you have failed so miserably, and to have that heart kind of spirit of what we find in 1 Corinthians 13 about love, and that is truly rewarding when you create something that connects. And so I'm grateful for that journey. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, I hope you will. It's called Love Will Not Care. And anywhere that you can stream music, on any platform, you should be able to find it. Search for my name, Brian Harden, and you will find it. And I hope that it will find you. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you really, truly, deeply. We're moving into the summertime now, and thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. This is Kurt in Oklahoma. Calling in on June 5th. Listen to the recording today. Towards the end, there was a caller asking for prayer. They've recently done a colonoscopy, and I'm showing up on there. Brother, I just want to pray with you and for you over that. I know there's thousands and thousands of others that are praying for you. Just hope that all turns out well. Know that you're in our prayers. And for all those that are calling in, like I've said before, I pray along with all those that call in after the Daily Audio Bible and then on the weekly prayer line. So just know that. And I know there's, again, thousands and thousands of us out there praying for y'all. So be aware of that and the power of prayer. I wanted to give a shout out today to the Harden family. Just again, express my thanks for Brian, family. I started listening to the Daily Audio Bible all the way back in 2007. It's been a part of my life ever since. I just don't know where I would be without it. So thank you for that. I just am amazed at the many talents of the Harden family with the songs, videos, Bill, Ezekiel. And then I just would share with you all the books that Brian has written. Sneezing Jesus, Reframe, Passages, God of Our Story. I've got all of those. I've read all of those many, many times. I read along with the God of the Story, God of Our Story each day. So I'd encourage you all to think about that. Lastly, I know the long walk is coming up here soon. I'm very excited for that. And I just would share that I tend to do short walks periodically as needed. So you might think about that as a way to get close to God. With that, I'll sign off. Hope you're all well. Bye.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan from Canada, God's Yellow Flower. Actually, I think it's afternoon now. I want to lift up. The only way I could recognize his name was saying the weave. And he said he's a first-time caller, and they found a mass in his colon. So, Lord Heavenly Father, we just come before your holy throne, and we ask you to remove that mass. We ask you to do it now so that there will be nothing untoward in this man's colon, and that he can live a long and fully healthy life serving you. I pray, Lord God, that this would not be cancer, but if it is, that you would give the strength and the courage to this man and his family to face the future, and that if you don't heal by your holy hand, you would heal by the medical science. We know it all comes from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, Dab family. This is Humboldt in Northern California. And I keep calling in and to ask for prayer and encouragement, and then I lead it. I'm just at a very low point right now, and just under a lot of stress. My husband started his business, and it's going to have its ups and downs, but he's expecting a lot from me to do his books. And I'm working full time, and that's not my forte. We have our son going away as a transfer student to college, and you know, that's another financial burden. I know so many people are suffering with this. I just need prayers to keep the strength. And just to be able to keep working. I am going to be starting a new job. And I'm so thankful and blessed for this new job. And it will help quite a bit in future, in the sense of being able to take more time off if needed. But right now, I just need prayer. I need prayer that I can continue to not stress out and to trust in God, that He has our backs, and I know that He does. But I really need prayer and encouragement. Thank you.
Hello, Dabbers. Marjorie from New Mexico. And I'm just calling in to ask for prayer for a family that I know. I don't really know them, but I know of them. And the mother is struggling with drug addiction. Her two children are little, maybe 4 and 5, and they are living in a car, in an abandoned car. And nobody in their family wants to take them in because of her drug addiction, but the children are suffering. So I'm asking you guys to cover this woman and her children in your prayer. Pray that she seeks rehab and treatment for her addiction, and that she can raise her kids the way that God intended for her to do. And just pray for those little children. Pray for a hedge of protection over them, and that God just guides them and watches over them. And I appreciate all of you. Thank you, Dabbers.